This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Tiansen.
And a good day to everyone out there listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever podcasting platforms you're listening to. Welcome to the Podium Finish Live, the world's fastest hour racing talk. I'm your host, National Motorsports Press Association journalist and motorsports journalist, Rob Tiansen. I'm joined alongside my fellow NMPA journalist and friend, Nathan Solomon. We're so delighted to have you here for our 52nd episode of TPF Live. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that means it is the official one-year anniversary of our podcast. It really should have been a couple of weeks ago, but due to some unforeseen circumstances that happened to us earlier in the summer months, it's now happening, the 52-week mark of TPF Live, or one-year anniversary. And it's been quite a ride so far to be back on the airwaves after so long, and we're so happy to be having a great full season of the show and then getting ready for the off-season and season two really kicking off with TPF Live next week, if you think about it. So it's really cool to have the season finales being the one-year anniversary mark of our show. So we know for a fact that we're going to be crowning three new champions, unless Ben Rhodes wants to repeat the Truck Series Championship on Friday night. So at least two, maybe three different champions compared to this point last year. We've got a lot to get to on this program because I don't know about you, but the Martinsville race weekend was so exciting, a lot better than what we had in April. And with that, it leads to a truly riveting season finale race weekend at Phoenix Raceway in Avondale, Arizona, the Valley of the Sun. And no, that is not a reference to Rage Against the Machine. If you're a little too young to understand that reference, I'm sorry. I'm kind of an older guy now at this point in my life, but that's okay. I'm an 80s child. So anyways, folks, Nathan and I are going to talk a lot about what happened at Martinsville, the denouement, if you will, to the season finale race weekend at Phoenix Raceway. So yes, of course, we're going to talk about what happened at Martinsville with Ross Chastain while riding his way into the championship four, Christopher Bell doing another walk-off victory, also Ty Gibbs's rather unusual way to win on Saturday evening, and then, of course, his comments that, let's just say on Thursday, he sort of walked back, maybe? I don't know. I'll let you guys decide about that. And then, of course, Nathan and I are going to give our thoughts on who will win the season finale races and, of course, the championships. Pretty fun. And also, did I mention we have a pretty awesome hot seat interview for episode number 52? Yes, indeed, folks. Kyle Larson, the reigning NASCAR Cup Series champion. Well, his tenure is going to end as NASCAR Cup Series champion on Sunday evening. But as of this recording, he's still the NASCAR Cup Series champion, the defending champion. And he will be here on the podcast later on for In the Hot Seat. Of course, this interview was during the Texas race weekend, so it is going to be edited for clarity and, of course, to keep things topical. But I'm sure you folks will enjoy this interview with Kyle because it's going to make you feel like you're at the racetrack. Because seriously, I felt like I was interviewing Kyle and about 36 Xfinity Series race cars all around us at Texas Motor Speedway. So a lot to get to on this podcast. And before we bring in Nathan, why don't we hear from our sponsor, SpoilerDieCast.com. You know, there are great partners that help us get these diecast cars here in the TPF studio. So let's hear all about our partnership and why you should shop at SpoilerDieCast.com. Hey, race fans. Are you in the hunt for the latest and greatest in NASCAR collectibles from Lionel Racing or sprint cars from Acme Diecast? Head on over to SpoilerDieCast.com. They've got a lot of offerings that you cannot find anywhere else, as well as some hidden gems that you may have lost during your childhood. And if you spend $20 or more on in-stock items or pre-order items, you can save 5% off your order and get free shipping if you use promo code TPF. Recently, I bought myself about 5 diecast cars from the Lionel Racing Collection, and it was going to be about $50, but with my promo code of TPF, not only did I get free shipping, but I saved about $2.50. Pretty awesome, I'd say, and my order arrived within 3 business days, which, honestly, that's pretty fast given how you can wait around with snail mail all day long, but hey, Evan and his team got it done, and I'm a pretty happy diecast collector right now. So head on over to spoilerdiecast.com, and if you spend $20 or more on in-stock items or pre-order items, use promo code TPF, and you'll be in victory lane, knowing that you save some money and look like a pretty awesome driver or car owner in your own right. SpoilerDiecast.com to be in victory lane right now with promo code TPF. Yes, folks, we hope you do some shopping on SpoilerDiecast.com. Evan is and his team are so efficient. They're so great. And I really enjoy supporting a small business like his just because they have that personable interaction and they get the job done right to get your diecast cars out from their little shop over to your house or apartment. So give them a shot and use that promo code TPF. Now, also too, before we bring in Nathan, I do want to mention, of course, that we also had Kevin Ritchie at the racetrack at Martinsville last weekend. And Kevin has been a really awesome addition to the team. In fact, everybody on TPF La, the team itself, has been so good in 2022. So I'll do a little quick shout out and roll call to everybody as much as possible who's been a great contributor to the TPF team this year before we bring in Nathan, just because, hey, it's the last show of the year in terms of the seasons being ongoing. So we might as well give some love to the men and women of TPF. Sorry, AJ Allmendinger, I'm using your phrase, men and women. But really, everybody's put in their chips and invested so well with us. Whether that's Blake Ulino, Hayden Rush, Christopher Vargas, Cody Porter, Cody Schopp, Dominic Lavoie, Dylan Nadwadny, Eric Parks, Ethan Smith, Isabel Beasy, Jazz Sharp, Jesse Miller, John Art, Jordan Anders McLean, Josh Jones, Catherine Porter, Kevin Ritchie, Kobe Lambeth, Landon Ciardulo, Logan and Maddie Skinnan, Luis Torres, Matt Sisler, Matteo Marcheschi, Michael Donahue, Michelle Rayner, Mike Moore, Molly Gassenow, Ryan Daly, and of course, Nicholas Weatherby, Riley Thompson, Sam Drace, Sean Folsom, Stephen Conley, Taylor Kitchen, Tara Jones, Trent Nielsen, and last but not least, of course, Nathan Solomon. Without each of you being on this team, there would be no TPF. So thank you all very much for all the hard work and effort that each of you have put forth this season. It doesn't matter if you've done a little or a lot for TPF. It just means a lot to me to see everybody put in their chips and really just make this truly not just the fastest hour racing talk for the podcast, but for our racing website, the inside line to motorsports. So thank you all. I'm very appreciative of everybody doing such a splendid job all season long. And our team is going to be growing into the off season, which I am so excited about. And of course, we are always looking to expand. So next season, of course, as of right now, we are looking for more people to join TPF. So whether that's a photographer's role or social media specialist or a staff writer, just know we're always on the lookout for the next great talents. So if you're interested in joining our outlet, get in touch with me on Twitter at Rob Tionks and send me a tweet or email me, rob.tionks@gmail.com. And I'll do my best to get to your emails or tweets so we can talk a little bit about logistics about becoming a member of the TPF team. We've been around for over 14 years. It'll be year 15, which is saying a lot about the persistence, the resiliency, and the staying power of this little outlet that just keeps on chugging along. And again, it's all thanks to the men and women of our team, and personally for me, my family, for being alongside me and supporting me through all the ups and downs. We'd be nothing without our support system. So thank you all very much. With that now, let's go bring in Nathan, because I know he is ready to talk all about racing talk, and I'm sure he's just ready to kick off episode number 52. So let's get with Nathan here so we can get this show truly started beyond first gear. All right, well, here he is, ladies and gentlemen, my friend and co-host Nathan Solomon, who is all set to talk about everything Phoenix Racing Weekend championships and all that. So Nathan, as of now, we're getting ready for all the season finales at Phoenix Raceway. How are you doing, man? I know you're having some bittersweet moments about this weekend.
I know, it's sad that the season's coming to an end after 38 weeks. Off season is near, so by the time we record next week, it's crazy, it'll be off season time, but going well. I'm sure we have nothing to talk about from Martinsville last weekend. Nothing at all. Nothing happened in the Xfinity race, nothing happened in the Cup race, you know, nothing whatsoever. So super excited as always.
Oh, yeah, it was the most boring Martinsville race weekend. And I shouldn't be actually saying that because we did predict it was going to be boring. And I was glad that we were wrong because it was everything that was not boring. It was super exciting, as I mentioned in the buildup. So we're going to actually get to all of that right now because, hey, it is Phoenix race weekend. Buckle up, folks, because it's now time for Podium Perspectives. Yeah, well, you know, Nathan and I typically have been saying all season long that, you know, when it's a good race, we say nothing happens. Well, we kind of weren't joking because last week we were kind of fearful that Martinsville would be a very boring race weekend based on what happened in the spring race in April. And like I said earlier, we were so glad to be wrong about that because at least in the Cup side of things, first of all, holy crap. What a crazy turn of events for the Championship Four at the Xfinity 500 in Martinsville, because we only knew that Joey Logano would advance. He got the victory in Las Vegas 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago at this point, so he pretty much could be in cruise control. But for the remaining seven drivers in the round of eight, they were holding on for dear life to get through that little 0.526 mile racetrack in Ridgeway, Virginia. And in this case here, Christopher Bell would make Dennis Eckersley very proud because he got another walk-off victory. But I think more folks were talking about what Ross Chastain did on that final lap, because he was like, what, 10th place or 9th place on the final lap, and he found the way to get the 5th place, folks. So with that, first let's hear from Bell about how he got his walk-off victory, and then we'll actually play the clip from Rick Allen in the NBC NASCAR telecast that led to Ross Chastain's surprising entry into the Championship Four.
What were you thinking on that final restart, Christopher, trying to catch your good friend Chase Briscoe? I see the emotion in your eyes.
Mom and Dad, we did it! Woo! I can't believe it, man. To come here to Martinsville, this place has always been so tough on me. And, you know, pre-race, I was looking up and seeing all the fans, and this place is packed, and just, I don't even know what to say. Just thank you so much to DeWalt, Ream, Toyota, everyone on this Joe Gibbs Racing 20 team, man. They believed in me since day one. You know, we went to Xfinity and did really well, and struggled in the Cup side for the first little bit, and they stuck with me. So very appreciative to be here, and I don't even know what to say.
What is it about this race team that you guys can come through like this in back-to-back rounds, Christopher?
Man, you know, I say it all the time, but the driver is just a small piece of the puzzle for, you know, these races. And, you know, the reason why this car won today is because it was the best car on the racetrack. And Adam Stevens, Tyler William, this entire 20 group, they never give up, you know? Our back's against the wall, and it looks like it's over, and they show up and give me the fastest car out here. So just, I don't know, man. Words can't describe this feeling.
Christopher Bell, if he wins the 1 and the 11, fighting for every point right now, Denny Hamlin, two-point favorite to get in as the Championship Four. Bell out of turn four. He's going to do it. He's won his way into the championship.
Let's go get a championship.
And the fight for the point right at the line. The one of Chastain past Hamlin.
It was a video game move off into turn three. He put the car against the wall wide open all the way around turn three and four.
Chastain, Elliott, Bell, and Logano are going to fight for a championship in Phoenix.
Yeah, nothing happened this past weekend. That's full of, you know what. But Nathan, let's hear from you first. I mean, Martinsville delivered on the Cup side of things, at least. What are your thoughts on those exciting moments where Bell got that walk-off victory and Ross Chastain wall rode his way into the championship four? I mean, folks are still talking about that. It was a number one play of the week, I think, on ESPN SportsCenter, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, at least number one for that day. But, like, wow. Like, I don't think anybody really expected that. And we got a restart with, what, 24 laps to go. And I think everybody knew it would be super high intensity. But I don't think anybody expected, like, it to be as crazy as it actually was. I mean, we saw Denny and Ross battling for several positions there for most of that span. And keep in mind, Denny Hamlin, at least in that 24-lap run, had the better car. He was he had gained several spots. I mean, I think he was – I mean, he dropped – on like three consecutive pit stops. I think he was 15th or something and like made it up to like sixth, I think. Like he passed a bunch of cars in a very short amount of time. And he's just kind of taking no prisoners, bumping him out of the way. Ross Chastain, on the other hand, he's kind of dropping some spots. He was really a 10th place car all day, but obviously did whatever he could to maximize. And then just the move that Ross made, I mean, that was literally his only chance, right? He was so far back from anyone else. He needed two spots. Or so he thought he needed two spots. I'll touch on that in a second. But Wall rode his way. It got five spots, and, like, it worked. Like, nobody ever thought that'd work. Everybody knew that worked. Literally just took a shot in the dark. Like, he had no clue. He was like, you know what? If I try it and I don't get it, you know what? I go down swinging. But he went forward and it worked. So I don't know if we're ever going to see that again. I guess that's possible unless NASCAR puts in a rule. But that's in bounds, it's in limits. You know, he did whatever he needed to do without, you know, like, wrecking anybody. I'd rather, much rather he do that than, like, go up there and take out the two cars ahead of him. So he did it fairly. I know a lot of drivers weren't really happy about it. I know, like, Kyle Larson was super outspoken about it, even though he had, like, done similar stuff in the past before. But, yeah, I liked it, though. Very entertaining. It put NASCAR kind of back in the spotlight a little bit. Got a lot of attention from it really everywhere. So glad it was able to generate as much publicity as it did. Glad it was an exciting race, exciting finish. Overall, though, the race itself, like the first 450 laps honestly weren't great. But, you know, that last, you know, 10% of the race was very exciting leading up to the championship four. And then, of course, Christopher Bell, second straight walk-off win, winning the Roval to end the round of 12, now winning Martinsville at the end of the round of eight. So he's racing for a championship. And honestly, this championship four is probably the most four deserving drivers, at least from the second half of the season. I mean, Chase Elliott, I think, has five wins on the year that leads the NASCAR Cup Series. Joey Logano has been so consistent throughout the whole year. Three points paying wins, including and then the Busch Clash. He's been very steady year round. Ross Chastain, of course. I mean, he hasn't won since April, but he's consistently been top 10, you know, week after week after week, maximizing stage points. And then Christopher Bell, like, you know, has won three times since Loudon in July, been very consistent this summer, you know, with as much parity as we've had all season long. In my opinion, probably the four best drivers, at least since, you know, really at least since June. They're in the championship. I never thought Ross Chastain would actually make it. I thought that somebody would take him out by then. I know Denny was upset at him, but it seemed like they kind of put their differences aside eventually. And then kind of circling back to my point of, you know, at the time, Ross Chastain only needed 2 points. You know, Brad Keselowski finished in the top five originally, but he got disqualified for being too light. So he forfeited all of his points, including stage points. And Ross Chastain was able to green 2 points because of this qualification, and those 2 points would have put him at a tie with Denny Hamlin had he not made that move, and the tiebreaker would have gone to Ross. So even if Ross did make that move, he actually would have transferred, but we didn't know that at the time.
And wouldn't you know how crazy it would have been if he didn't make that move, and of course Brad K still got disqualified. He would have quietly made his way into the championship four. But I, you know, the old saying, things, you know, it was meant to happen. I think that was kind of meant to happen. And whether you're a traditionalist who may say, well, they should be racing on the track surface, people like me, or, you know, you like people being gutsy, that's why NASCAR is a sport and an entertainment industry. If it didn't have entertainment, people wouldn't be watching the sport at all. So that's why you have those great moments like the 1979 Daytona 500, where Donnie Allison and Cale Yarborough duked it out after their last lap crash for the victory. Why do we like the moments where the drivers fight, like Jeff Gordon and Brad Kay at Texas, or Rusty Wallace and Dale Earnhardt getting together at Bristol in 1995? There's just so much excitement in terms of the entertainment aspect. And Ross Chastain can never be faulted for someone who is boring. He's always a very tenacious, exciting, unpredictable driver. And for NASCAR's sake, it's great to have that type of driver around. So we'll get to championship predictions for the Cup side very shortly. But why don't we table that for now? Because we're going to talk about that crazy penultimate race, rather, for the Xfinity Series, the Dead On Tools 250. Now, Nathan kind of mentioned a little bit about why he liked the wall riding move a little bit better than, you know, crashing out somebody towards the end of the race. Well, that's exactly what took place on the Dead On Tools 250, because let's just say that Ty Gibbs did not give two dams about who was in front of him. Despite the fact that he already made the championship four before the end of the race, he took it upon himself to earn that grandfather clock in rather distasteful fashion. Let's hear from Ty Gibbs right after his victory, after he took out Brandon Jones for the win. I'll let you decide what the crowd thought about that moment.
Contact with the 19 looked very intentional. Was it a fair move by your assessment?
I definitely didn't want to wreck him, but I wanted to get him out of the groove. I felt like we lost earlier at the spring race just in the same way, but I'm just pumped to get this win, and it's so awesome, especially a track I feel like I've been coming to forever. I ran late models here, and it's just been, it's super cool to win here.
Boy, Rick, you can hear the fans, the boos raining down on Ty Gibbs celebrating a win at Martinsville, but the fans do not like it.
Well, I wanted to share that clip with you guys and girls who are listening to our show, because on Thursday afternoon, let's just say that Gibbs kind of walked back his comments. Did he really walk it back? Was it Grandpa Joe getting involved? I don't know. But the facts of the matter is the man who compared himself to Jesus kind of decided I probably don't want to compare myself to the Lord Almighty in the Christianity faith or Judeo-Christian faith. I won't get into religion. That's not my deal. But I will say, wow. I have never heard anyone talk about themselves like that. And I guess it's good that he kind of walked it back. But Nathan, let me ask you simply, does Ty Gibbs need to chill the hell out?
Yeah. But I mean, it's so weird because like he's quiet for like 4 weeks. And then like one thing happens and then he's like really quiet for 4 weeks. So like we almost like forget about it, but then he does something again and then like everything comes back. But yeah, another Ty Gibbs incident. And for the last 2 years, he said, yeah, I'm going to mature and get better. But so far, and since he's been saying it these last 2 years, he really hasn't done any of that. He's not been doing any maturing, visibly, or, you know, at least that's what it looks like on the racetrack. He hasn't been growing because guess what? He keeps doing the same things over and over again. I mean, he's kind of grown to have a knack to make some very bad decisions at Martinsville now. Of course, in the spring, deciding to go fight Sam Mayer. And then now in the fall, wrecking his teammate out of the championship hunt when Ty was already, you know, clinched. So not very bright on his part. He had like 10 laps to think about what he was going to do in that green-white checkered during that like very long caution, knowing that Brandon Jones was restarting in front of him or around him, or I don't remember exactly what it was, because in all honesty, I couldn't watch the Xfinity race. I was calling a game on ESPN Plus, so I was just watching the highlights, but which I was very disappointed about. I've not been able to watch as much Xfinity as I wanted to lately, but anyway, yeah, he had a lot of time to think about how he was going to handle that restart, and the team had a lot of time to make sure that he knew the situation, right? Because in the end, when you're locked into the playoffs like Ty was, you got to do what's best for your company. Can't do anything stupid. And Brandon Jones got a great restart, got out in front. And yeah, I mean, Ty Gibbs was in a position where he could win the race for a second. But if you're being smart for your company and your sponsors and all your partners, that's not something you do. I mean, I think it was pretty was pretty intentional. I mean, like he said, I think he even said after the race on Saturday he was trying to move him. So, I mean, but he seemed a little bit more candid today or Thursday when he was, you know, doing all the media stuff out in Phoenix. So, I mean, it was intentional. There's no sugarcoating it. He wrecked him. You know, I'm not going to speculate beyond it, but, you know, keep in mind that Brandon Jones is leaving Joe Gibbs Racing after this season. I wonder if Brandon Jones has started to get kind of frustrated with the Gibbs situation at Gibbs, and I say Gibbs plural, but you know, just a tough situation all the way around. I mean, I don't think like Coach Gibbs or Coy Gibbs certainly wanted that to happen either. They want two cars in the championship hunt. They want both of their full-time drivers to be able to go for a driver's championship. Obviously that's not the case, but now it's, you know, one versus three, one Joe Gibbs Racing car versus three JRM cars, where it could have, should have, would have been, you know, two versus two. And I think Allgaier would have been out. So really poor decision by Ty Gibbs. And a lot of people in that Xfinity field right now don't like him. And a lot of the people in the Cup field are certainly seeing that. And, you know, putting two and two together, more than likely Saturday's Ty Gibbs' last Xfinity start. He's going to be a Cup driver next season, barring something unforeseen, most likely here. So he can't do that in the Cup Series. I mean, we saw what happened, I think, at the Roval with Roval with Ty Dillon, I believe it was. Like, he just made a right-hand turn, like right hook off on pit road, or left hook, or hit him on pit road, and he almost hit like a tire changer or something. Like, just continues to make poor decisions. And in terms of his skill, he's a Cup driver. He's ready to be in the Cup Series. In terms of his maturity, still stuck in the ARCA Series.
I think somebody just didn't give him the ARCA brakes. It took off the ARCA brakes. He is like Miley Cyrus's song from 2012, 2013. He's a wrecking ball. And I want to like the kid because he is immensely talented. He comes from a family that obviously has a passion for motorsports. But when you have one of your old friends, I think Noah Gregson used to be friends with Ty Gibbs at one point. And I don't think they're buddies now, because on Thursday, he even said the championship was what Noah Gregson said. The championship will come down to 3.5 men. So, and I don't know if you folks are on social media, but you should see the post from Noah Gregson that shows the championship four field, and the JRM boys are standing tall, and Ty Gibbs is like Mario when he hits a Goomba or a Koopa Troopa. He shrunk to small size. So yeah, I think Ty Gibbs had a lot of growing up to do. I mean, I was not impressed with him when I listened to the Sirius XM NASCAR radio telecast of the race at Homestead before the race started, and he was saying, hey, I just recently turned 20 years old, so I guess I'm not young anymore. And I felt saying, dude, you're 20 years old, you're still young, but it doesn't mean that you're young and you can be stupid. You can be young but also growing up and becoming better. So he's got a lot to learn, but like you said, Nathan, he's apologized so many times, he's made commitments to try to change, to be better, and not a lot of us are seeing that commitment to be better. So who knows? What I will say is this next topic is one I promise I didn't just come up with at a whim or use some internet meme generator. This is another Bianchi blast from The Athletic, but on late Wednesday evening, Jimmy Johnson is reportedly buying some ownership stake of Petty GMS Racing. Yes, two seven-time Cup champions coming together. It's like Exxon and Chipotle and all these forces coming together. That's a Parks and Rec reference. But man, Jimmy Johnson coming back to Cup, possibly, at least as an owner, and perhaps making some starts. We'll know for sure on Saturday morning, I believe, because there is a press conference scheduled at Phoenix Raceway. And I'm certain that Luis Torres, another NMPA journalist, is going to give us some spot news about that. But I think we can trust a Bianchi blast here, Nathan. So let's actually act as if this actually happened. What is going on here with NASCAR Cup Series Racing? Because if we thought Michael Jordan coming to Cup was crazy, if we thought All of these changes, like, are Brad Keselowski taking over, are basically Rush Keselowski happening. Jimmy Johnson, where the heck did this come from? I mean, this is a strange bugaboo, I think, that's going on here.
So this is the 74th season of NASCAR, okay? And Jimmy Johnson, 7 Cup Series championships. Richard Petty, 7 Cup Series championships. Being the, you know, college student, you know, how to do the math. That's 19% of the Cup Series championships have been won by those two drivers. Now they're joining forces to own a team, which is crazy. I don't think anyone saw this coming whatsoever. Like, we knew that Jimmy Johnson was going to step back from full-time IndyCar. He did that for basically just one season. He did all the road courses last year in 21, but one season full-time. And he wanted to do like 10 races, right? He wanted to do some select races. Speculation, he'd probably be doing the endurance stuff again in IMSA. But besides that, that was really like the only indication that we had. And honestly, I don't even know if that had been announced yet. I think that was kind of what the speculation was. But he had said he wanted to try making a couple NASCAR starts again. He wanted to drive the next gen car. And now here he is, not just owning a team or co-owning a team. And keep in mind, we don't know the ownership stake right now. We don't know if it's like, we don't know what it's like, because now there's three parties involved. Because remember, it's Petty and GMS. Like, there's still two sides. There's the Maury Gallagher side. There's the Richard Petty side. And now there's the Jimmy Johnson side. So I'm not sure exactly what that's going to look like. Not sure what that rebranding is going to look like. But all three sounds like are going to be involved. So that's crazy. Yeah, Jimmy Johnson back in the car, though. He said, I think around 10 races is what he wanted to do total for everything. Anything racing related, 10 like races. So we'll just have to see kind of what that schedule looks like. I mean, you'd have to think, in theory, he'd want to do the Daytona 500, right? So I guess that's certainly a possibility. It'd be an open entry, but I'm excited to see what this schedule could look like for him. I'm excited to see what impact he could make on Petty GMS. And we're seeing a lot of newer and younger owners come into the sport, and not even necessarily owners, just like executives, which are often former drivers, like Hendrick Motorsports, still owned by Rick Hendrick. But now you see, you know, Jeff Gordon's basically the number two, has a lot of say in that organization. And, you know, Trackhouse, owned by Justin Marks, he's 30 something, right? He's very young. You know, Tony Stewart, with Stewart Haas Racing, Tony's still pretty young. I mean, he's mid 40s, I think, mid upper 40s. But still, just kind of that younger blood. Brad Keselowski, of course, Denny Hamlin, of course. Almost every team now, really, except for Joe Gibbs Racing and Penske, I believe, have some sort of really young, you know, big executive that makes a lot of decisions. Now, Petty GMS has Jimmy Johnson, so pretty crazy. Excited to see what impact he can make on the sport from the ownership side, because this is very good for the sport.
This is a heck of a way to usher in season number 75 for the NASCAR series itself. Cup Series Racing, when it was a strictly stock series, and man, 2 7-time Cup champions coming together. That is a dream come true. It's like an iRacing video game type of fantasy situation that's going to come to fruition. And does Jimmy Johnson, after his sample trying the next gen car, does he decide, maybe I want to try to do a couple seasons full time in NASCAR? There's never too much of Jimmy Johnson in motorsports. And that would just be pretty cool. I mean, I don't think it would tarnish his amazing legacy, and I don't think he cares to delay his NASCAR Hall of Fame plans anytime soon, because the guy's a competitor. You saw that in your races throughout your career so far, Nathan, and I've gotten a chance to talk with Jimmy over the years. So I'm excited. Luis, again, he's going to have, I'm sure, the spot story about that. Michael Donahue and Christopher Vargas will be there taking photographs. So I'm excited, man. Let's just get to Saturday. Who cares about what happens on Friday? I want to hear what it goes on in that press conference so we get all the details. So Nathan and I, of course, we're going to recap everything about that on episode 53. And if it's true, man, we'll have to get Jimmy on the program here. So we'll work on that, those details, as we say in the industry. Man, I don't even know if I want to go to the next topic, because when I got that news late last night, I was like, whoa, this is pretty sweet. But Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time to do some winning time here on TPF Live, don't you think? So this week, we're not going to do the dark horses and winning picks. Because it's championship race weekend, Nathan and I are going to name the race winner and the series champion for the Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and Cup Series. And yes, folks, this is the last time we get to call the Truck Series the Camping World Truck Series, because afterwards, once we get to 2023, it is a NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. I know I said it last week. I'll say it again. I am so stoked for Craftsman to be back. Just so I can say Craftsman Truck Series. Now, if we can only get Winston Cup back, which will never happen, but if we do, wow, we're having a nostalgia trip, and then the Xfinity Series becomes the Busch Series. But anyways, Nathan, like always, I will let you take the lead here. This time you don't have to look at the entry lists. You can just simply tell me who's going to win the race and tell me who's going to be the champion for each of these series.
So I feel like I think we've always had this, at least in the playoff era, we've always had the same. Well, not in trucks in Xfinity, I don't think, but at least in Cup, we've always had the race winner be the champion. I think that could change in Cup, maybe. We'll see. But at least for trucks, I'll go Chandler Smith for both to win race and championship. He won Phoenix last year. I think overall having the best season. Zane Smith started off really strong, but it's really been Chandler Smith who's been consistent throughout the whole year. Zane Smith, a few up and downs towards the playoffs. It's definitely hard to go against Ty Majeski as well, just with how, you know, winning two of the three races in the round of eight. And Phoenix is kind of a short track, but I'm going to go with Chandler Smith, I believe. So I know that wasn't overly confident, but I'll go with Chandler Smith. In the Xfinity series, I feel like so many people are upset with Ty Gibbs and the fact that he has a 1-3 disadvantage. He is not going to win with the Xfinity championship. So I think it's going to be a JRM car. And I'm going to have to stick with the hot hand all season long, or at least in the second half of the season. And that's Noah Gragson. Won at Homestead to get into the championship for, won at Phoenix earlier in the year. He just had such an incredible season. It would only make sense for it to be capped off with a championship. So Gragson to win the race and championship on the Xfinity side. And then on the Cup side, okay, on the Cup side, I'm going to go with, to win the race, I'm going to go with Tyler Reddick. I don't know, just kind of a weird feeling, just like, you know, kind of what happened last week. You didn't feel well in the car, had to get out early. His final race with RCR, I feel like he was going to go out on a parting note with a victory. So that'll leave one of the championship driver being a non-winner in the race. And honestly, I think, like, I have no clue. I seriously have no clue, but I'm going to lean a little towards Joey Logano. I think that's going to be my pick. Logano has actually had a ton of success at Phoenix in the past. He's been very consistent throughout this whole year. His wins have kind of been pretty evenly spaced. I know, so only when his last one was a couple weeks ago, but just his consistency, in my opinion, bodes really well for him all year long. And with his experience on the track, really, you know, he's the veteran guy. He's the experienced guy out there too. So he's certainly had a lot of these situations. I know Chase Elliott has too, but Elliott's been a little bit down in the playoffs. I know Chastain's riding some momentum from these last couple of weeks as well, but I think the experience in the end is going to pay off. I think someone like Ross Chastain or Christopher Bell, both having great seasons up to this point, I feel like one of those two guys are going, if not both of those guys, will make some mistakes. So I'm going to go with experience in the end and pick Joey Logano to become the second, the second active driver with two championships, I believe, right?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Strange to say, by the way, because it feels like we should have more multi-time champions, but that is not the case at all. But you kind of went along the same lines as me, Nathan, about these picks, which kind of, I hope I don't sound like a broken record, because we're both going to probably sound alike with our picks. But for entertainment's sakes, I'm going to be a little different about things, because that's what we do on TPF Live. So we'll start off with the Lucas Oil 150, which is coincidentally the only race for the season finale that has an actual kind of name, because the rest of this, the Xfinity Series and Cup Series races are so generic naming-wise. We could just call it the TPF 300 and TPF 500. Why don't we do that? No, we can't. For the Truck Series race, this one is probably going to be the first time in a while where the Championship 4 driver happens to win the race. I am going to go with, ooh, this is tough. I hate to go against Zane Smith because he did start off the season really well, but I'm going to go with the defending champion. Ben Rhodes, just for some reason, does silly things where you count him out, you think he's kind of fallen asleep during the season, and he's like a bear once winter ends. He's out of hibernation, and he wins a race. He wins the race, he wins the championship. So simple as that for the Thor Sport Racing driver. And who wouldn't want to see another funny press conference if he wins the race and championship on Friday night? I don't know if I'm going to be up for that because, to be quite honest, I'm so young. It'll be past my bedtime. I'm kidding. So Ben Rhodes for the racing championship for the Truck Series. For the NASCAR Xfinity Series championship race, man, this one's a pretty tough one because, again, you mentioned about it, Nathan, about Ty Gibbs going against those three GRM drivers. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say Noah Gragson is going to win the race and the championship. The guy won at Phoenix earlier this year. How could he go against him? And he wants to end his tenure at Junior Motorsports on a high note. So what better way to do that than with a victory and championship on Saturday night? And before we get to the Cup Series picks and championship, I was just kind of thinking, too, with Jimmy Johnson basically going to be a petty GMS, and I know this is speculatory, and we don't want to do speculatory stuff all the time. I kind of wonder if this is going to be a foray for Dale Jr. to get into the sport eventually for the Cup Series. So, you know, a little connecting of the dots right there, but we'll see. Anyways, let's go to the Cup Series. For the Cup Series championship race on Sunday afternoon, I agree with your pick of Joey Logano. I do think he's going to win the championship. I know he's got a lot of hungry younger drivers who obviously are going to do some crazy stuff. And who knows, we might see one more wall riding attempt by Ross Chastain or whoever is within vicinity of that leader for the race win in championship four. Now, I hope that my conspiracy theory comes to an end. I am not one of those people who believes in them, but I typically say that the Cup Series championship race, that we typically see the championship four run into the top four. But we all know that on the owner side of things, we've got a really strange situation where Chase Elliott is not going to be representing Hendrick Motorsports for that. It's Kyle Larson who's going for the owner's championship for the Hendrick Motorsports banner. So I expect the five car to be pretty fast on Sunday. So I'll go with Kyle Larson for the victory and owner's championship, but Joey Logano standing tall with that second Cup championship, which, again, how the heck do we not have more than like a two-time champion in the NASCAR Cup Series? As of right now, who knows? But what do you think, folks? Did we get our picks right? Are we wrong? Let us know. That guy, Nathan Solomon, his Twitter handle, of course, is nsolly02. I am at Rob Tionkson, and we both run the Podium Finishes Twitter account. So, tell us what you think. I don't know. Just fun to interact with you folks. With that, why don't we get to our second to last segment, which is In the Hot Seat. Now, this interview, of course, took place at Texas Motor Speedway, like I said at the top of the show. So we did have to edit some parts because Kyle did talk about it going further in the playoffs, which, of course, didn't happen on the driver's side of things. On the owner's championship side, of course, he is in that championship four. But in this interview, Kyle and I talk about what life has been like for him to be a parent, having his son Owen being an aspiring race car driver, and also Kyle's involvement with the Race for the Championship docuseries on USA and Peacock. Yes, folks, you can watch it on Peacock. It's pretty fun and entertaining so far. And really, about school, because, hey, Nathan and I are in school. He's going after his bachelor's at St. Bonaventure. Actually, on campus, I am getting my master's through St. Bonaventure's online program for digital journalism. So I'm just kind of curious what Kyle thought about school. And I think you folks will be surprised because I'll just let Kyle explain everything about this. It's a really fun interview. And we are accompanied by a bunch of stock cars. So you'll feel like you're at Texas Motor Speedway once we get into the hot seat right now with Kyle Larson.
Earlier this year, you guys were just tackling a lot of issues in the next car. I think you're talking about the steering issues at COTA, which I hope has been resolved since then. But you guys have been competitive, battle for wins, top five, top tens, you know. How is this car going to be able to work even closer together and try to really string it out with these guys with the closer competition.
Yeah, definitely. I think our team, I don't really notice much difference. You know, I feel like our team is always, Andrew Motorsports teams have always been playing well together. And I would say it's no different. Maybe just, our conscious meetings are just a little bit longer. Just talk about cars and upcoming stuff. But I feel like we've done a good job of transitioning from previous years to
another thing that's going for you right now, obviously, is you got that contract extension through 2026. Job security is always an awesome thing, no matter how good you are. But what's it mean for you to have your car home for the next 4 years, and now you don't have to worry about that for a while?
Yeah, no, it's great. It's definitely nice to, like you said, have that security a little bit, and know that you're wanted somewhere. So I've enjoyed my time in here. I hope to be there long past 2026. Yeah, I hope we can go win many more races and more championships.
For sure. One other thing I thought was really cool is that you're taking part on that USA Race for the Championship Docu Series, and obviously with your family, pretty prominent in episode one, which I really love, with the race car number example. I tried to do that as a kid, but from your perspective, how beneficial is this series to bring in new fans and also showcase that you're not just a race car guy, but your father as well?
They've done a great job of the show. I feel like it does showcase, you know, the stressfulness of the racing side, but also, you know, we're too off the track. So get a good glimpse of all that for the race fans, and get to realize that, you know, we're all more people just like we are. So I've enjoyed watching the show, and I hope the viewership's been really good.
Absolutely. And I have to say, Jeff Buck really asked me a good question earlier this year about how you handle adversity. Obviously, you're really good at doing that, but like, what advice would you share to people about having to handle the peaks and valleys of something competitive that they love?
Yeah, I don't know. It's, I think everybody handles it differently. I try to never really put too much pressure on myself or others, just because I don't, you know, it's hard to live with all that pressure. But, and yeah, when things aren't going your certain way you might want it to, I think for me, I just try to move on and forget about it and know that I'm trying my best, and if things aren't working out, I've got another race up in front of me or whatever. It doesn't have to be racing, but just try to move on quickly. And basically, a
lot of those people who's been a bit inspiration to have this good attitude is being like Chairman Jeff Gordon. Like, I'm just curious what kind of advice he's given you since he's been in that last year.
Yeah, I don't know. Everything for me last year was great, so you know, adversity kind of seemed like for us. But this year, yeah, I mean, we've had quite a bit, and you know, being able to lean on all sorts of people, Peter Gordon, Jeff Andrews, Jack Dowles, Kirk Daniels especially, they're all great leaders and have experienced a lot. So me being a much younger guy than a lot of them, all of us,
for sure. I know your son Owen's out here right now having a little fun out in the sun. You know, you and your son have been sharing a great passion for racing, and I think you guys have been partaking in that Christopher Bell showdown over at the dirt track. What's some of the rewards and challenges of being a father and having this passion of racing with you?
Yeah, I don't know. It's fun. It is a lot of fun. It's also frustrating times. I feel like, I think, you know, being a race car driver, like, I know what I'm going to do, and I know how to do it, and how to, you know, not make the mistake the wrong ones or whatever, but it's hard to teach a 7-year-old sometimes, you know, and have patience doing it, too. So I'm probably not the best coach. I probably don't do a good enough job of making it fun sometimes, but he loves it. He does a good job of it, and he's getting better. He has a race. Experience that he has.
He's been a good father to teach him, so don't cut yourself too short on that. A couple more questions, because I know you're going to get going here pretty soon, too. Not to say that you had Marty McFly's DeLorean time machine, right? What time and place would you go to and why?
I don't know. I would honestly like to go back to like Owen's age when I was just getting started racing and you know, re-experiencing that from, you know, because those are some of those fun times ever, I think, as a child, you know, racing with buddies that are still all my best friends today. So I think that would be a fun to go experience all that again.
Yeah, for sure. So my last question for you is obviously, you know, school has kicked off again, and I think Owen's homeschooled, right? So, a little different from you, but what was your favorite school study growing up, if you had any, and why was it your favorite subject?
I don't know. I didn't have too many favorite subjects at school, but probably just, you know, I like the, just for sure, I don't like some, but like the extracurricular kind of classes that you can pick. So I would always take computer class. I enjoyed, you know, we would make websites, or we would make, you know, little video games and stuff like that. I enjoyed that. So in a way, maybe after racing, would you want to be a video game designer?
No.
That was back when I was like 14, so I've forgotten all that, and I'm sure it's got to be way more complicated. I knew we were doing like extreme races. So. The game's Snake.
Oh, man. So, Python?
Yeah, so, I don't know, it's just where you chase the dot around and try not to run into yourself, but, so, I would not be into that.
That sounds like a good time for sure.
Well, folks, that was Kyle Larson here in the Podium Finish Live.
Kyle, thanks again for taking time with us.
And that was Kyle Larson in the hot seat. I want to thank Kyle, of course, for his time during the September 24th, 25th race weekend at Texas Motor Speedway. And oh, by the way, folks, that was hours before he had won the dirt track race. I think the Seabell Special or whatever it was called at that little dirt track at Texas Motor Speedway. So Kyle was in a pretty good mood about his chances at Texas and, of course, winning that race. And also want to thank John Edwards, of course, his PR man and a great friend to me and TPF. He always does a great job for us when we need anything from Hendrick Motorsports. Oh, man, the last in-season edition of TPF Live, and then we're going to have a bunch of off-season episodes, but that's okay because basically this caps off season one of TPF Live. When we get to next week, it's season two of TPF Live. So Nathan's going to probably have like a mustache. I'm going to probably have mutton chops and a beard. I don't know. You folks can't even see us anyway. So why am I describing how we look? For all we know, we're probably a bunch of like computers who happen to talk. I'm kidding. That's Casey Campbell's show. I'm kidding, Casey. Jeez. Anyways, we're not going to talk crap about our friends in the racing circles. What I will say, though, is we've got a lot of exciting content coming up on TPF. We've got Luis Torres. We've got Christopher Vargas, Michael Donahue, already with their camera lenses. And, of course, Luis Torres, our roaming and winning journalist, because he is a winning NMPA journalist. So all of us are going to be focused on the Championship Four. I don't want to give it away, but all I'm going to say is just think of the old days of ESPN when they'd focus on a driver and the team and yeah, I'm excited. I wished, again, it were Friday night so we can get to the articles right now. But we'll know who the championship winners are after episode 52, when we get to episode 53. So before I close things up for the show, do you have anything else you wanted to add, Nathan? Because I know we're going to recap Phoenix season, all of that for episode 53.
Yeah, no, very bittersweet. I mean, it's been an awesome season. It's like, it sucks to see it end, but like, fortunately, since NASCAR is like the longest season of like all the professional sports, you know, it'll only be like 12 weeks to the next race, right? It's only 3 months basically until the Busch Clash. So that's really exciting. But I mean, at the same time, though, I am excited for the offseason. It'll be definitely, it's always different not having NASCAR on the weekends, but lots of coverage coming up over the offseason with some season review stuff I think we'll bring back again. Probably in full force, and of course some more features, some more driver announcement stuff. So it should be a good time, though. Even though the season is over or is ending, we don't stop. We'll be in full force all off season.
And you bet your dollar, folks, that when we get to January, when the drivers come back from their holiday breaks, that means we can get new interviews on TPF Live and TPF. So you bet your bottom dollar that the TPF team is getting ready for the 75th season of NASCAR, which will be the 15th season of TPF. So lots of milestones to look forward to. And just hang around, folks. We're going to have a lot of fun in these coming months. And then before you know it, it's the Busch Light Clash at the LA Coliseum again. And hopefully we have some folks there. And then, of course, Daytona. So buckle up, folks. We've got a lot to get to. After Phoenix. So With that, I think it's time to wrap up this show because it's time to get back to the Valley of the Sun. So for that guy, Nathan Solomon, who does a great job all the time, and for Kyle Larson, who is going to go for the championship for owner's title, I am your host, Rob T. Youngson, saying thank you all very much for tuning in to TPF Live, the world's fastest hour racing talk. If you would like to listen to our previous episodes, you can catch those on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or whatever podcasting platform you're listening to. Next week, it's going to be a surprise guest and a lot of fun to get to for our post-Phoenix, post-NASCAR season edition of TPF Live, episode 53. So stay tuned, folks. We're going to have a lot to get to. But as we say on all these podcasts, let's go get the checkered flag. And this time I'm going to say, let's go get the championship trophy. And until next time, so long, everyone.